Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me again today is Julie Bango. We're continuing our conversation, but let's begin with the prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord of all hope, the source of hope, our hope, fill our hearts with that same great gift. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Julie, we were talking about your career in special education, and for all of your career, you were in public education.
That's right. Yes.
And so I thought what we might talk about is living the life of a disciple, you know, in your work and in your career in a secular environment of public education. So I presume that during your career there was no like public prayer or anything in the school setting.
No, there was not. But I was very fortunate. At one school that where I was on the faculty, we had a group of Catholics who prayed, and we did morning prayer together before school each day. And, you know, we found each other, and then we were able to support one another.
So, you know, I think some, you know, maybe cultural warriors or whatnot might suggest, you know, I went to public school for 12 years. So, you know, there were, you know, I came out all right, you know, somewhat all right, I should say. But, you know, it isn't, you know, it's not like godless Russia or something like that in public education.
No, there are opportunities for kids, and there are opportunities for teachers to share the love of Christ with students.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't come naturally, because I think in schools, especially in special ed, we're thinking that the curriculum or a lawsuit or something can be given to students, to our students, my students, to make their life perfect. And we know that's impossible. You know, God is what makes a student's life perfect.
Yeah.
And so, and even for me, that was a temptation. We would have a curriculum, one model that would say we're going to do all functional things. Some students would be left out. And then they'd scrap that, and then they'd say, well, we're going to have an academic curricula. And then we'd have to water things down so much that they had no value. So I had to be able to step back from all of that and to say these students have value regardless of the curriculum. Because you don't want this to be some utilitarian model where the students have to produce something to have value. Mm-hmm. And we were closely monitored. You know, we had government regulations and paperwork, and our success was really tied to forcing kids into those, to meet these requirements. Mm. And so I had to work against that to not turn students into my enemies. You know, you're not meeting this goal. Mm-hmm. So that is where, again, just thank God having, that when I listened, God would show me how unimportant all that was. And it was the humanity of the child that was so important. And when I look back on my career, it was the moments where we honed in on that with kids that we did the very best work that was in their best interest and in the family's best interest. And I think what God was calling me to do.
One of the things that strikes me is also the role of parents in special education, mm-hmm. that you've faced. Because I think, you know, some parents maybe might have unrealistic expectations, so you have to kind of deal with that. But they also parents also need your support, too, in the even more difficult job.
Absolutely.
That they face.
Yeah, theirs is a very difficult role. And you know, there's great sadness when you have hopes to have the student that's going to be the next president of the United States, and that's not going to be your reality. And they can, gosh, you know, there's just not sleeping all night, because some students don't sleep all night.
Yeah.
Or loving your child and your child can't show you love back. Uh, they're they're angry and they can't communicate, and so their parent is their interpreter, and the parent can't, parents want to fix things and they can't fix things. And sometimes I think one of the most difficult things for a small group of parents was they didn't really know their own child because they had so much heartache and they had such a different vision for their child. They never had the opportunity to love their child for who the child truly was. And that's really a heartbreak to see that.
And, you know, I think that's a lesson for us all because whatever the reality is before us, we need to take advantage of it. And it's easy for us to say, well, this is too difficult or this is impossible, or to just try to make it into whatever we want it to be, rather than to really lean into it. You know, it reminds me, this is completely unrelated, but like the whole COVID situation, people's reaction, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to be angry, or I'm just going to veg out and watch Netflix all day, or to really actually take advantage of it and lean into your family and the relationship with your family or to friends and, you know, reach out to friends that you haven't talked to before, or develop hobbies and interests during this time.
And I say that with myself. I don't say my career was one of sainthood. You know, there were times I leaned in and sometimes I resisted. And thank God, God has been patient with me. And I woke up again this morning because I'm so grateful. I can look at some of those times now and in great humility say, boy, I didn't take advantage of that. Or, okay, once in a while, yes, we did take advantage of that. And I think of one story where we had this student who would grasp things and would not let go of things. And so it was a really, you know, as a reflex, it was just a very immature reflex. And so, you know, you would be working with her and she'd grab your hair, which, or your shirt, or, you know, your blubber or whatever. It wasn't comfortable, right?
Yeah.
And so it took over a year to teach this student to relax that grasp. And with all the government regulations or all the dreams of other people, that was so important for that student.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember an aide saying, it was prophetic, I think. She said, you know, now maybe when this little girl is being taken care of by an impatient person, she won't be abused. She won't be abused by grabbing someone and not being able to let go because we've taught her that. And so so that's where I think having that Christian perspective of, okay, this is this kid. What are we going to do to help this kid, this particular kid, and push away all the other things that, you know, we might be told we should be thinking about?
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is Julie Bengo. And I think that the point that you made is a very important lesson in general for all of us as disciples of the Lord, is we really need to look at the small little victories of the Lord, you know, and rather than, because there's a lot to despair, you know, to despair about. Really.
Yeah, it's not heaven.
You know, and it seems as, you know, everything is stacked up against us. First of all, we're reminded that Christ is already victorious. But also, it's really these little things. All we have to do, as, you know, like to kind of summarize Therese, St. Therese, is, you know, we just have to do little things with big, you know, with a lot of love. And kind of keep an eye on those small little victories.
Right. And that's where I was so fortunate to see, just to be surrounded by so many good people. We had one very aggressive young man. And, you know, I weigh 98 pounds. I'm a little person. And he would do this overhead swing where if you were hit, it, you know, it hurt. And we had a young man, was a teacher's aide in the classroom, who was very strong and athlete. And he would catch that kid's hand and say, great, give me five. as it was coming down. And we call that shaping. So he was shaping a very inappropriate behavior, and it was, he was doing a direct reinforcer of an incompatible behavior. So he was forcing that behavior to change.
Yeah.
And once he taught the student that and paired the words, oh, give me five, then I, as a 98-pound person, was able to come in later and cue that student and get the same reaction from him. And you could see this kid's face. He was so confused, like, I want to hit you, but, oh, yeah, okay, I got to give you five. And that's a small victory, but, boy, what a difference it made in this kid's life. You know, to have just a moment, because once we could connect with him that way, we were able to better humanize him and make him, and to change his affect.
Yeah.
So that was great. So, yeah. And there are lots of little stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the key, I think, is to keep our eyes on the little things. And that's really the effect, I think, of disciples in the world is, you know, we affect little change, but it, you know, it points to the big change that Christ is doing. So,
right. Yeah, I'm just a small little person, that, and I don't mean that figuratively, or by my height. I mean by I'm a speck. A priest said to me once, "You are a speck, but God loves the speck."
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that note, let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, O Lord, for Julie and for her witness and for this time together. Strengthen and bless her and her family. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me has been Julie Bango. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you very much, Father.
And until next time, peace and all good.